From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Acts as he brings the next portion of a message called Stephen. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. Today's text is found in Luke chapter 8 and verse 13 in the parable of the sower. These have no root. My soul, examine thyself this morning by the light of this text. Thou hast received the word with joy. Thy feelings have been stirred, and a lively impression has been made. But remember that to receive the word in the ear is one thing, and to receive Jesus into thy very soul is quite another. Superficial feeling is often joined to inward hardness of heart, and a lively impression of the word is not always a lasting one. In the parable, the seed in one case fell upon ground having a rocky bottom, covered over with a thin layer of earth. When the seed began to take root, its downward growth was hindered by the hard stone, and therefore it spent its strength in pushing its green shoot aloft as high as it could, but having no inward moisture derived from root nourishment, it withered away. Is this my case? Have I been making a fair show in the flesh without having a corresponding inner life? Good growth takes place upwards and downwards at the same time. Am I rooted in sincere fidelity and love to Jesus? If my heart remains unsoftened and unfertilized by grace, the good seed may germinate for a season, but it must ultimately wither, for it cannot flourish on a rocky, unbroken, unsanctified heart. Let me dread a godliness as rapid in growth and as wanting in endurance as Jonah's gourd. Let me count the cost of being a follower of Jesus. Above all, let me feel the energy of his Holy Spirit. And then I shall possess an abiding and enduring seed in my soul. If my mind remains as obdurate as it was by nature, the sun of trial will scorch, and my hard heart will help to cast the heat the more terribly upon the ill-covered seed, and my religion will soon die, and my despair will be terrible. Therefore, O heavenly sower, plow me first, and then cast the truth into me, and let me yield thee a bounteous harvest.
Thank you.
If you've been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak broadcasts, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Problems of providing for the needs of the Grecian believers solved by the appointment of the first deacons, the early church experienced an increase in the spread of God's word and in souls coming to Christ. However, having suffered a temporary defeat, Satan renewed his attack in the form of a united onslaught of persecution. The remainder of chapter 6 and all of chapter 7 record the trial and martyrdom of Stephen at the hands of the Jewish leaders. Of great importance is the Scripture's description of Stephen's character as full of faith and power. Such was his wisdom before his accusers that they were unable to refute his words. His countenance radiated the beauty of Christ. Now to continue this message entitled simply, Stephen, here is Dr. Cairns.
You can read what Stephen did, and you can read what Stephen said. But you'll never be able to emulate either his works or his words until, first of all, you have the character that Stephen had. And the Lord knows, even in the early church, there were few like Stephen. And when you look at the church of Jesus Christ today, where are the Stephens? Men who are, first of all, full of faith. Men who know how to take the Bible, who know how to believe the Bible, who know how to stand in the Bible, who make no apology for the Bible, and whose vital living faith is actually used of God to bring about transactions of grace and glorious power. That is the kind of a man Stephen was. He had faith. When Stephen prayed, God listened to him. And therefore, when Stephen spoke, men listened to him. He was a man of faith. I think that one of the great weaknesses in the Church of Christ today is that you have so many preachers and they come into the pulpit. I think I mentioned this breed a few weeks ago, and all they can do is spread the gloom of their own doubts and ignorance. And they talk learnedly about things they know nothing about. And they put question marks over things in the Word of God that nobody in his right sense has ever questioned. I am not called to put doubts and fears and phobias into the minds of men. I'm not called to put a question mark over what the Bible teaches. I am called as a preacher to preach what the Bible teaches and to state it clearly. If it's something I can understand, bless the Lord. If it's something I can't understand, bless the Lord still. I'm glad that God isn't tied to the limitations of my puny little brain, or yours either. So I'm called to preach, not to question what the Word of God says. As so many do, he was a man marked by faith. He was a man marked by fullness of the Holy Ghost. Now sometime we'll get down to a study of the Scripture teaching on the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that there are two distinct strands of thought in the New Testament on being filled with the Spirit. And the first I have in a former study mentioned, but let me emphasize it. The first indicates a total submission to the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5 has this thought in it. When a man gets drunk, he gets filled with the wrong kind of spirit. But what happens to him? The booze takes over. His thinking is dominated by the drink. The way he talks is dominated by the drink. The way he walks is dominated by the drink. The way he feels is dominated by the drink. Now the apostle says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There's an absolute contrast between the two, but there is also a parallel. Just as drink takes over every faculty of the man and every power of the man, so a man who is filled with the Holy Ghost will be a man who has been taken over by the Holy Ghost. He's a man whose mind is totally controlled by the Spirit. He's a man whose words are controlled by the Spirit. He's a man whose thoughts are controlled by the Spirit, whose actions are controlled by the Spirit, whose motives are controlled by the Spirit, and whose affections and feelings are controlled by the Spirit. Now, I'm talking about the normal Christian life. I'm not talking about a super Christian. The Bible says to every Christian, be ye continually being filled with the Spirit. Doesn't make great English, but it makes good theology. And that's what Paul literally said in Ephesians 5:18. Be ye being filled with the Spirit continually, day after day, indeed moment by moment. Have the Spirit of God in control. I tell you, the mark of a Spirit-filled man is he's a man under control. He's a man who's under the dominion of the Spirit of God. Day by day, when I ask the Lord about this, I come to pray that the Lord will bring my thoughts, my words, my motives, my desires, my activities, my attitudes under the control of the Spirit of God. My friend, whatever spiritual gifts I have or don't have, whatever spiritual experience I have or don't have, whatever spiritual success I have or don't have, unless I am under the dominion of the Spirit of God, then I'm not a Spirit-filled man and I'm not likely to do anything lasting for God. This is the mark of Stephen, a man full of the Holy Ghost and a man therefore full of power. That's the other side of the fullness of the Spirit. It's a strange thing, but it's true, the New Testament speaks of a Christian being full, that is, living full, living under the dominion of the Spirit. And such a man then can be actively filled with the Spirit's power. In the moment of crisis, in the moment of need, in the moment of service, he is given a divine infilling of spiritual power. A man who is living under the dominion of the Holy Ghost can have the dynamic of the Holy Ghost in his life and in his service. And that's the kind of a character that Stephen was. You will notice in this character also the thought of undying service. He was a man who was made a deacon. He was to serve tables. He was to go around feeding the poor, distributing money that had been brought into the central treasury to those who were in need. Not a very exalted job, you would say. But he did it with all his heart. He went around. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us in verse 8 when he did great wonders and miracles. But I think you can see him as he goes around. The Lord gives opportunities for service. There is a widow here and she's sick and he puts his hand upon her and heals her. There is one there with a little one laid aside and he puts his hand upon him and heals him. There are opportunities for service, opportunities for witness. You see, let me say this to you. Any Christian who wants to serve God, no matter what his job is, if his job is morally right, anywhere he goes, he'll get a chance to serve the Lord. People say, but I can't get a chance. If you really want to serve the Lord, somehow the Lord will give you the opportunity. He'll not necessarily give you the opportunity he gave to Stephen, but he still will give you the opportunity to serve the Lord. And this is the mark of a man who's full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, and full of power, that whatever his task, however menial his job, that man will serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this. When a man's willing to start at the bottom, the Lord will raise him up and make him what he wants him to be. I haven't time to follow this through, but you just take the great men of history. You take a man like D.L. Moody. Before D.L. Moody ever moved the world, he had to get into the place of humility. And he had to be willing to do menial service. God took him through that. I think of Dr. Paisley. Today, wherever he goes in the world, men listen. You know how he started? Well, I'll tell you where he really started. He started as a little boy. When other wee boys were reading comics, he was reading Puritan Divines, believe it or not. 10 years old, he read books that many ministers to this day find too heavy to read. And when W.P. Nicholson came around his countryside preaching the gospel and pointing souls to Jesus Christ, there was a young teenage boy, and he was there. He was a Reformed, Calvinistic believer like any good Presbyterian or Reformed Baptist would be, but he was like an old-time Methodist exhorter. And when Nicholson was preaching and gave the appeal, there was a young fellow called Paisley, and he was a nobody, but he was around the pews, and he was weeping over souls, and he was pleading with souls, and he was working in the inquiry room. He was in the background, but I'll tell you, W.P. Nicholson made a prophecy at that time. He said, there's a young man here in Ballymena, and he will yet shake this country for God. And he was right. You start humbly with God and just be faithful, and the Lord will use you as he wants to use you. Now that's Stephen's character. You'll notice his controversy, verse 9 and verse 10. It's a bad job when religious people get together to oppose the gospel. It always leads to bitter strife, and certainly there was controversy. But you will notice, verse 10, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Now, that's a tremendous testimony. Who can give you that kind of power? Only the Holy Ghost. May the Lord give us that. If I could ask you for one prayer, it would be the prayer that the Lord would give me that kind of power. Wisdom and the Spirit. Ah, those two things go together. Many people can say the right things in the wrong spirit. I have seen Christians who have won an argument, but they've lost the battle. The wisdom and the spirit together, irresistible. May the Lord indeed give us that. You'll notice the charge that was laid against him, verse 11 through to verse 14, that he spoke blasphemy against Moses and against the law. It wasn't altogether true, that charge. In fact, as far as blasphemy was concerned, it was totally untrue. But as far as their traditions were concerned, and this is why I say he preached against Phariseeism, it was absolutely right. He was just like the Lord Jesus. He preached the truth of the Old Testament, but he uprooted the traditions of the Pharisees. And they didn't like that one little bit. In fact, if I could just anticipate something that's coming a little later, way back, or way over in verse 48, 49 of the next chapter, you'll find he is preaching on the spirituality of the worship of the Old Testament. And for this reason, many thinkers and Bible scholars have said that he is to Paul's ministry what John Huss was to the Reformation. He is the morning star of Paul's ministry to the Gentiles. He seems to have been the first among the early church to see that the gospel was not to be confined to the Jews, but it was to burst the boundaries of the Jewish nation and go to the Gentiles and to the ends of the earth. And for that he was charged. Now you'll notice his countenance. Verse 15. I think this puts him along with Moses. He must certainly have been one of the most handsome men the world has ever seen. Not physically so, perhaps. But I want you to notice this. All that sat in the council looking steadfastly on him saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. I want you to read the next verse. And the high priest said, are these things so? Do you see how tame he is? Why is the high priest so tame? This one who was so vicious before and so bitter indeed against the Lord Jesus, why is he so tame? He looks on this man, and I believe he wasn't only aglow with love, as we would say, of Christians today. I believe that the Lord did for him, in some measure, what he did for Moses when he came down from the mount, and what he did on the Mount of Transfiguration to the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw him with the face of an angel. Now here's an interesting thing. His accusers were supposed to be the defenders of Moses. Now turn over to chapter 7, verse 54. Read this. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. I don't know if you've ever seen especially old bearded men gnashing with their teeth. I'll tell you, they're not just the most beautiful specimens of humanity. When somebody gets to gnashing, he's nearly foaming at the mouth. And he's as ugly as the devil and sin can make him. Now, they're the defenders of Moses. And here's the so-called blasphemer. And his face is just like the face of Moses, as we read in Exodus 34, verse 35. His face shone. Why? He came from the presence of the Lord. I want to tell you something. Isaiah 3 verse 9 speaks of the Jews. The show of their countenance doth witness against them. That was true of the Jews here. I want to tell you this, that there's many a man who'll never listen to your words terribly closely, but he'll have a good look at your face as you say them. Now, you can't help the features with which you were born, and I'm not talking about that kind of beauty. I tell you, there are Christians who come out from the presence of the Lord and they have the beauty of the Lord about them. And there are other Christians and their features may be physically beautiful, but they have nothing of the glory of Christ about them. That's a verse that humbles me, and I trust it will humble you. Verse 15 of chapter 6. What kind of a face have you got for the world? What kind of a person are you when the world looks on you? When they looked on Stephen, they saw him like an angel. When they looked on Stephen, they saw him like Christ, for he had the glory of heaven about him. When they looked on Stephen, they realized, here is a man, and he has been with the Lord. To talk to some Christians, to listen to some Christians, to watch some Christians, you would think they hadn't been in the Lord's presence in 20 years. Mind, if you knew the truth, you mightn't be too far wrong, except in judging them Christians in the first place. My friend, I tell you, if you spend time with the Lord, you'll come out from the Lord's presence. And people, whatever your limitations, will soon be able to see past you and see the Lord. That's Stephen and his disputation.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.